And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all are enjoying the day. Great news. The president left the hospital yesterday. He is home at the White House and apparently doing quite well. But you know, even when the president is sick, these leftists can't help but hate the man. And you know what that tells me? There's a deeper sickness than COVID in the country, and it is the sickness of this Marxist, socialist, communist thinking that is anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Trump. It is hatred at levels of magnitude that are hard to even fathom. You can't even give this man an opportunity to rest, and you can't even rejoice at the fact that he's doing well, but his doing better, his ability to come out of this thing, even that is a cause of hatred. It's an amazing thing to witness. Now, I want you all to listen to this clip, because this is something the president said, I guess, yesterday after he got back to the White House, and this is being roundly criticized, and I want you to listen to it, and you tell me if you hear anything in this, that ought to be a subject of criticism. Here it is.
I just left Walter Reed Medical Center, and it's really something very special. The doctors, the nurses, the first responders, and I learned so much about coronavirus. And one thing that's for certain, don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it. You're going to beat it. We have the best medical equipment. We have the best medicines, all developed recently. And you're going to beat it. I didn't feel so good. And 2 days ago, I could have left 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I felt great, like better than I have in a long time. I said just recently, better than 20 years ago. Don't let it dominate. Don't let it take over your lives. Don't let that happen. We have the greatest country in the world. We're going back to work. We're going to be out front. As your leader, I had to do that. I knew there's danger to it, but I had to do it. I stood out front. I led. Nobody that's a leader would not do what I did. And I know there's a risk, there's a danger, but that's okay. And now I'm better, and maybe I'm immune. I don't know. But don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there. Be careful. We have the best medicines in the world. And it all happened very shortly, and they're all getting approved, and the vaccines are coming momentarily. Thank you very much. And Walter Reed, what a group of people. Thank you very much.
Now, folks, that was really a terrible statement, wasn't it? I mean, that's something that we ought to all be up in arms about, because, I mean, after all, the president actually had the unmitigated gall to say, don't let it dominate you. So I guess the left is saying, of course you should let it dominate you. And he actually said, don't be afraid of it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. In fact, I heard one commentator say, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. This thing can kill you. You know. Look, and I'm not laughing about the seriousness of COVID, because it can create respiratory problems. And for some people, particularly those with comorbidities, it is dangerous. I'm not laughing at that. But what I am laughing at is the fact that this is the atmosphere that they've tried to generate all along, which is, even though 96, it's probably higher than that, 96% of people without any comorbidities, and many of those, I mean, the president's 74, and look at how he's responding. It is not a death sentence. Overwhelmingly for most people, it is not a death sentence. But the left wants to act like we're all going to die from it. And if you're not wearing a mask, what are you trying to do? You're trying to kill me? I mean, it's look, Kelly McEnany is is actually doing interviews today. And she's been diagnosed with it. And she says, I am completely asymptomatic. I feel fine. But, you know, they don't want to talk about the fact that overwhelmingly most people are not even going to get seriously ill from it, let alone die. Oh, no. No, the president is now. In fact, did you know somebody actually said, going back to the White House, isn't that manslaughter? That's how nutty these people are. And, you know, my first thought when I heard this commentator say, don't be afraid, was this. Now, this is a guy who's clearly never read the Bible. Because Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word absolutely commands us, that word be anxious, mean don't be afraid of anything. It commands us not to be afraid. The Bible says literally hundreds of times, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And when the president said, don't be afraid, they went ballistic. He's telling people not to be afraid. But when their big liberal icon, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Oh, those were what eloquent, powerful, inspiring, uplifting words those were. When the president says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, is he crazy? You know, the double standard is just, it's unreal. It really is. And for them to be reacting this way with the level of hatred riding around, I don't know whether you all saw Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, respond to this criticism of getting in the car with Secret Service agents to ride around and putting them at risk. I mean, Dan Bongino got downright indignant. I mean, really indignant. And he said, as having served as Secret Service agent, he said, we don't sit around and whine about putting ourselves in danger. We protect the president. It's his safety and security that we are concerned about, not our own. If it were our own, we wouldn't be doing that job. Because that job is to put yourself on the line to protect the president of the United States of America. And I mean, he was indignant about it. He said, you know, I don't think he used the word wimps, but he used the word, they say these bunch of whiners, these people, and you know what he said? He said, they don't know anything about honor. They don't know anything about integrity. They don't know anything about duty or courage or responsibility or keeping your oath. He said, these are things that are foreign to them. They're whining about he put the Secret Service in danger. I mean, well, look, I've said many times, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a scientist. I don't even pretend to be one on the radio. But I am a human being. I am an American citizen, and I am a child of God. And I do know this. Life cannot stop. We must live on. We must go on. And we simply cannot lock ourselves away and pretend that everything must come to a stop because this disease has now entered the world. And I think that's the message the president is trying to convey, and God bless him for saying it. Somebody needs to say it, because these pundits in the media certainly aren't going to say it. They're busy hiding in their corners. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Yesterday, I talked about the Trump administration's decision to cancel federal training sessions on critical race theory. Heather McDonald argues that this first step should be followed by removing identity politics from federal operations in the sciences. The goal is to create a more diverse scientific workforce. Those of us who took undergraduate courses in math and science already felt the scientific landscape was fairly diverse because we were taking courses taught by TAs from other countries whose first language was not English. Often the challenge was not the scientific concepts, but merely trying to understand them. Unfortunately, the federal science bureaucracies are not talking about that kind of diversity. They actually want more diversity of minorities and women. But it doesn't stop there. The National Institute of Health, for example, would fund student researchers who were or had been homeless, who were or had been in foster care, who had been eligible for free school lunches, or even if they had received WIC payments as a child or mother. The first time I heard Heather McDonald talk about this on another radio program, the radio interviewer asked a very good question. What does being homeless have to do with scientific research? The National Science Foundation is now doling out millions of dollars for a program to combat bias in the STEM fields. Heather McDonald, though, argues that the problem is the academic skills gap. The average black math SAT score is more than a standard deviation below the average Asian math score and nearly a standard deviation below the average white score. The ultimate solution is to do better STEM teaching in the public schools and not trying to implement woke science. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Doesn't it take courage to follow God? Yesterday, I took a walk, as it seems many of us have been indoors for quite a while. I was almost home when I noticed someone walking her dog a couple streets over. I decided to take courage and walk farther with the hope of meeting this person and maybe getting the opportunity to share Christ. This young woman was happy to talk as she was considering moving here. I told her it's a great neighborhood with quite a few Christians. When I asked if she was a Christian, she indicated that she knew very little about God. I shared my testimony and also the plan of salvation. After reading a gospel card with me, she wanted to pray to receive Christ. What an unexpected blessing. Let's move towards these possible opportunities with courage. I'm Marcia Heckman with Grand Awakening for OneCry.com.
Brian Fisher here. Trump is back to work, healthy and hearty as ever. Does hydroxychloroquine have anything to do with that? The media hyperventilates about Trump taking his mask off outdoors with nobody around. Will Kamala Harris go non-linear at the vice presidential debate? And collection boxes are being stolen with ballots still in them. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. Now, there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen in the aftermath of the election, whether President Trump wins or does not. But the theory that's been advanced by some is that if he does win, that the left is going to try to create an insurrection, that there's going to be an effort to destabilize the nation with violence and rioting and looting and you name it. Now, I don't know. That's a theory. None of us knows what is going to happen until after the election is over, and then we're going to find out, aren't we? But, you know, I'll tell you something. I think that if there's anything that could precipitate a really violent confrontation in this country, you know, I really don't think it's an election. I could be wrong about this, but you know what I think? I think it's the effort of the left to deny people an opportunity and a right to earn a living because they don't like their political thinking, their ideology, who they're voting for. And as a result of that, your ability to earn a living and to take care of your family is denied. Now, why do I say that? I say that because I think that there's nothing that strikes at the heart of a responsible, decent, law-abiding citizen more than being told, I am going to take away your ability to feed your family because I don't like the way you think. Not because I don't, not because you're not doing the job properly, not because you're not competent, not because you don't arrive at work on time and put in a full 8 hours or 9 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. Not because of that. No. It has nothing to do with that. It's because I found out that you're voting for President Trump. It's because I found out that you are pro-life. Or because I found out that you don't support same-sex marriage. Or because I found out that you're one of those Bible-believing Christians. Or because I found out you don't support Black Lives Matter. And folks, that is happening all over the country. Now, apparently it hasn't reached critical mass, because I think the moment at which it reaches critical mass and you get enough people who have basically been sidelined economically because of their thought, because of their politics, I think you got a formula for a serious problem. Because I think people can accept, okay, I made a mistake. I blew it on the job. That didn't work out. I'll find another job. I think people can accept that. But when they're being told, no, you're not acceptable, even though you're capable, even though you're competent, even though you've got the requisite qualifications, we don't want you because we don't like the way you think. We don't like the way you vote. And, you know, that's a totalitarian system. I say we don't have a totalitarian state, but we are moving toward a totalitarian culture. Now, I said all that to bring up two instances today that have found their way back in the news. One is this Arizona State student who got into trouble for, let me get back to this. Who got into trouble for revealing that Jacob Blake had a criminal record. Yeah, a university, Arizona State University journalism student published Jacob Blake's record. And as a result, this person was dismissed from her job as a journalist. And I'm not sure whether there were any other consequences, but I mean, you're going to fire somebody because they print the truth? Well, it's not just printing the truth, is it? It's really expressing something that doesn't fit the leftist narrative, which is Jacob Blake is a victim of police brutality. Not Jacob Blake is a bad actor and Jacob Blake is a career criminal, right? No. Oh, no. We're not. We don't even tell us that. We don't want to hear that. Don't tell people that. Well, she told people that. And as a result, was fired from her position, is suing, by the way, the state of Arizona. Thank God. Because this stuff is unacceptable. Now that's just a student situation, but I'm sure you all remember that Grant Napier was fired as an announcer for the Sacramento Kings. And I want you all to hear this because I don't know whether you're familiar with the actual details of this, but here's the way this happened. DeMarcus Cousins, who happens to be an American of African descent, tweeted to Grant Napier, "What's your take on BLM?" Now, apparently they know each other. They're friends, presumably. This is Grant Napier's response. Are you ready for this very controversial and ugly and racist and discriminatory comment that Grant Napier makes? Are you ready for this? I don't know whether you can handle this because this is pretty ugly. Grant Napier says, "Hey," 4 exclamation points. "How are you? ? Thought you forgot about me. ? Haven't heard from you in years. ? All lives matter. ... Every single one. All lives matter. Every single one. Now, if that's a fireable offense, then folks, we have already crossed the line. And he is simply communicating with an old friend who hadn't been in touch with him. I guess this guy was maybe trying to bait him, who hadn't been in touch with him in a while. To me, all lives matter. Every single one is the perfect response. Because in a sense, he says, what's your take on BLM? He doesn't respond to the BLM organizational thing. But in a sense, it's saying, yes, black lives matter because all lives matter. If you want to use those racial classifications, white lives matter, Hispanic lives matter, or brown lives matter, or yellow lives matter, or Asian lives matter, or Indian lives matter, all lives matter. Every single one. He got fired for that. He got dismissed from a position that he had held since 1988. I mean, think about that, folks. Since 1988. I mean, unless my math is really bad, that's 32 years. And he's dismissed for that comment. Now, you see what I mean? Imagine a situation in which the corporate world decides, well, you know what, we got to get rid of all these people who don't, they're just not coming to the modern era. They're still thinking in these antiquated, racist, sexist terms. They think marriage is supposed to be a union between one man and one woman, and they think all people are created equal and that you shouldn't single out people based on the color of their skin at all, as opposed to doing what we need to do to make up for all the racism of our country, and that they need to bow down and pay for that and apologize for it and all of that. And people who don't share those views, we got to get rid of them. They've got to go. Let's start figuring out who those people are, and let's just start systematically removing them from their places and getting people in here whose minds are right. You know, you do enough of that, you're going to have some very, very angry people. Because what you're doing is you're trying not only to hurt them, you're trying to hurt their families. You're trying to hurt the people that they're working to take care of, their children, their wives, their husbands. You're trying to hurt their families. And you know, folks, that'll get people going. And by the way, I'm not recommending violence or in any way excusing it. I'm just pointing out the facts that when you start doing that stuff and you do enough of that and that begins to happen en masse, you're asking for trouble. Because there's some people who get desperate when you, if you do something like that to them and they know they haven't done anything wrong, there are people who will get desperate. And so it is my prayer that we will move away from this madness, this craziness that has gripped the country. And by the way, this craziness is being expressed. John Brennan, as you all know, was testifying. He says basically the biggest risks we have now are at home. And of course, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about conservatives. Because John Brennan is a guy, by the way, he's just written a new book, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. And of course, he probably would count us, me, Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as enemies at home, people who believe in all these values I just enunciated earlier. He would say we're the enemy. And this is the guy, by the way, self-admitted communist who voted for Gus Hall. And you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for the denunciation of communism. I'm looking for the renouncing of communism. He never did. He never did. Stand by.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
You see it occasionally. It makes you sick at your stomach. It makes you hurt down deep inside where the pain cuts. It makes you wonder about what we call civilization and justice and even sometimes humanity itself. I saw it the other day. It was in the paper. You probably saw it also. It wasn't headline news, but it might have served a good purpose if it had been. It read something like this. Sensation-hungry spectators disappointed when a 19-year-old gas station attendant abandoned a suicide attempt, taunted him into jumping to his death from a 104-foot water tower Thursday. A fire department official said the youth, Jurgen Peters, climbed an iron ladder to the top of the tower and threatened to commit suicide following a dispute at the filling station where he worked. He changed his mind and was climbing back down when the taunts began. "Jump, you coward, jump!" shouted someone from the crowd. As Peters moved lower, the taunts became louder. He hesitated, looked at the crowd, then began to climb back to the top. At the top, he moved out on the edge and flung himself off. Well, I'm sure the crowd went home with a sense of satisfaction, real fulfillment. They could feel something that the Romans used to feel when the Christians were thrown to the lions. The sight of twisted, crushed, broken, bloody humanity must be a very enjoyable sight to such people. You know, we speak a lot about our living in a civilized world. We brag on our scientific advances and revel in our mechanical accomplishments. We've learned more in the past 10 years than man had learned in all of the recorded history up to that time. And yet, with all our marvelous wonders, we sometimes are not anything more than bloodthirsty animals. We've counted the church and its Christ out in our world. There's no place for him, not in our modern world. He was a good crutch for the ignorant ages gone by, but the myth of him just doesn't have any place in our world today. Few indeed are those who really believe that he has anything to offer our age. Most people have just outgrown the need for him. Let us suppose, and I know it is purely speculation, but let us suppose that those people who stood on that sidewalk beneath young Jurgen Peters were real followers of the way, had decided to live by his will. Peters would be alive today if that were the case. Have we outgrown him, or have we merely become more ignorant with all our learning? Well, at least one thing is clear when you look at the incident. All murderers aren't arrested. Some can walk away, perhaps to taunt and kill again.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. Brennan, in this book that he's just written, reveals something that I've told you all about, but he adds a little bit more to it, which is when Brennan joined the CIA, he shared that he wore a diamond earring in his ear, he smoked hashish, voted for the Communist Party president candidate Gus Hall in 1976, and styled himself as a character in Easy Rider. Now, you say, well, of course, you know, that's young people being crazy. I was young. I never voted for a communist. I never was a member of the Communist Party. That's a very unusual background for somebody who ends up in the CIA. It makes me wonder, did he join the CIA to help the country? Did he join the CIA to infiltrate and basically be, you know, a spy within the spy agency? And of course, you all know some of the vicious, nasty things he has said about the president. Well, one more thing. The number is 888-589-8840. I don't want to start taking your calls this segment if I can. So you got John Brennan running around with his kind of anti-American nonsense, trashing the president as the repository of all evil, when frankly, it is John Brennan that I do not trust with the levers of power, not President Donald Trump. I think John Brennan, frankly, is a traitor to our country. I really do. I think he's a traitor to our country. And I think that his, as a former CIA director, his active attacks on the president of the United States come out of that communist background, because this is this president has so thrown the monkey wrench into all their little Marxist plans. And I think all the people who think that the country would be such a much better place if we just listen to Karl Marx and just follow some of his principles and ideals, oh, what a much better place we'd be. And John Brennan is one of them who is incensed that a president dares have the audacity to say, no, we will never be a socialist country. We will never be a Marxist or communist country. No, we are a free constitutional republic. And then the last little bit, and then I want to hear from you all. Oprah Winfrey's at it again. Yeah, she did this interview because, you know, this woman who used to work for ESPN, she got fired. I think, what is her name? Tamil or something like that. But she got fired because she's just a straight up racist. And she just couldn't help herself. Said nasty, nasty things. They finally had to get rid of her. Well, Oprah Winfrey is now saying America's caste system was the template for Nazi Germany, based upon this stupid woman, Isabel Wilkerson, who's authored this book, Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents. Now, you know, you've got to hate America pretty badly to actually say that, because this is what they're saying, that America inspired Adolf Hitler. You got to hate our country pretty badly. Well, in addition to that, you got to be pretty dumb since we went over and stopped Adolf Hitler. But that's we'll leave we will leave the lack of brain. I tell you all the time, just because a person is successful in business or successful at entertainment, or, you know, like Oprah, she's an entertainer type. Just because a person is successful at one thing they do doesn't mean they're wise. It just means they've got a gift that's made of money. That's all it means. Now, that doesn't mean they're not wise. They can be wise, but it certainly doesn't prove that they are. Now, here's a woman who's a billionaire who is just as confused as a duck in a hailstorm. She doesn't know which way she's going. She doesn't know which way is up. This woman who came from nowhere and is a billionaire ought to be celebrating the greatness of this nation and telling everybody what a wonderful country this is that allowed me, who came from nowhere, to achieve what I've achieved. And she should be dedicated to telling all young people, regardless of the color of their skin, but particularly black young people, since, you know, that seems to be her thing. She ought to be telling them, look, this is what's possible for you in America. And here's what you need to do to achieve your dreams, to achieve things. You don't have to be a basketball player. You don't have to be a football player. You don't have to be a rapper. There's a wealth of opportunities in this country for you. And it's a place of tremendous goodwill. Look at what I've achieved in America. Because there's nobody anywhere else in the world who is doing what our American citizens are doing, of whatever color, whatever background. You know, the first trillion-dollar companies that we're seeing, like Apple, and maybe at some point Microsoft, Walmart, Amazon. Yeah, we're looking at potential trillion-dollar companies. Where did those companies start? And who started those companies? Yeah, Americans. Why? Freedom. Freedom. And she's, folks, it's mind-boggling, the level of mental and emotional confusion in people. And this woman is deeply mentally and emotionally confused. And I'm just trying. Yeah, she said, "Quote, well, this is Oprah now. Whiteness still gives you an advantage, no matter what." That was in this first of these conversations that she's doing on Apple TV. She says it's a social force that affords advantages to whites at the expense of blacks. And it's a weapon. Oh, Lord. You know, And here again, I know you can't. We can't always extrapolate from a sample of one. I can't think of anything in my life, and I've lived 68 years as a black person, by the way. I can't think of anything in my life where somebody's quote-unquote whiteness allowed them to do something at my expense. I just think that is what I want to know is where's all the whiteness that should have gotten in the way of Oprah Winfrey becoming a billionaire? Where is it? What happened? What, did it fail that day? It's just sad. It really is. It's sad because all these young people out here, they need inspiration, they need direction, they need guidance, they need hope. And you got people like this who ought to be the paragons of all of that, instead sowing into them despair. You know, it's just, of course, she is godless. She's a godless woman. She claims to be a Christian. Oprah Winfrey is not a Christian. That's a joke. Oprah Winfrey is no more a Christian than Jeremiah Wright and Barack Obama are Christians. These people are not Christians. They just use that as a veneer to give them some sense of legitimacy. They're not Christians. They do not know God. Period. Yes, I said it and I mean it and I'm not taking it back and I'm not apologizing for it. Oh, you, who are you to judge? By their fruit shall you know them. And I don't see any fruit, and even the way they talk is clearly indicative of the fact that they don't know God, that they are not Christians. That's why they talk this garbage. They can't sow hope. They can't sow inspiration because they don't have any. Let me try to get one call in before the break. I went on too long with that, but sometimes it's hard not to. Let's go to Linda in Tennessee. Linda, welcome.
Yes. Oh, thank you, and praise God you are on the radio. I was just going to remind you, it's probably been, I don't know, 30 years or so ago that Oprah Winfrey did an interview with Donald Trump. You may or may not have seen it.
I've seen some of it.
I saw it when it was on TV. You saw mm-hmm. it? Well, she was, it was indicative of most of the Democrats of that particular time frame that they all loved Trump. As long as they thought they were going to get the droplets of if he was passing out cash or anything, they were all for him. And as soon as he ran for president on the Republican ticket, oh, he's the most horrible person in the world. And it just irritates me, and I could cover up an entire week of your shows with all the thoughts that have been going through my head. But a little over a year ago, I decided to do away with my internet. And in so doing, I'm no longer on Facebook or anything like that, but it has given me so much more time.
Well, Linda, I've got to take a break, but I'm glad you find time to listen to our program and listen to AFR. God bless you, Linda. And look, you're right. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds. Back shortly.
We have always made the case that Christ is over culture, that Christ is over ethnicity. I am a Christian before I'm anything else. I say that to anybody, in anybody's face, in anybody's post, all right? I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the only source of salvation that people have. It's not going to be in my blackness.
That's right.
You can't get saved because... Okay, let me take down.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
What happens when an abortion-minded woman hears her baby's heartbeat on an ultrasound? Here's how a nurse describes the power of an ultrasound.
when she saw the picture of her baby on ultrasound and saw that beating heart, it was a defining moment that just broke her. And she said, I just can't allow this baby to be killed.
By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in her womb, she'll choose life 80% of the time.
I cannot tell you how many times a baby's life is saved through ultrasound. It's just an incredible tool.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
Another thing that kind of gets me in the morning that isn't like a highlight is when I realize that I am on a DIET.
Patsy Claremont on Focus on the Family Minute.
You see, at my age, I don't like anything that starts with the word die. Do you know what I'm saying? But I'm a Scrabble player. I love to move letters around and see what other words are in a word. And that's when I discovered that in DIET is edit. And I thought, well, I don't mind being on an edit. I can do this. I can do this. So recently, when the doctor wanted to edit out my bread, I was initially offended. I mean, it is dough that holds me together.
More humor from Patsy at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Hey, folks, I want to remind you that this coming Thursday from 7 to 8:50 p.m. Central Time, we're going to have a special pre-election town hall meeting. It's going to be hosted by Walker Wildman, and some of the guests will be Walker, of course, he'll be speaking, but Tim Barton, Richard Land, the Benham brothers, David and Jason, good buddies of mine, great guys. Star Parker, Abraham Hamilton III, Sandy Rios. That's this coming Thursday at beginning at 7 o'clock Central Time, a special at-home town meeting. You don't want to miss that. That's going to have some good stuff in that, folks. Look, the number is 888-589-8840. Oh, and by the way, in order to learn more about that, simply go to AFA.net, American Family Association's website, AFA.net, and you can sign up for it and get more information about it. The number is 888-589-8840. We put a lot of stuff on the table, so let's just come right back to your calls and give you all a chance to sound off. Let's go to Thomas in Virginia. Thomas, welcome.
Yes, hello. I'm here.
All right, Thomas, you're on. Good to have you.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a question for you. Well, you know, the law enforcement, I'm not sure what the exact source is, but they have a very large and detailed database of surveillance and video and private cell phone pictures and everything of the violence that's taken place in the last several months in these cities. And what I was going to ask you is, at some point, they know who these people are, most of them. They have license plate numbers and everything. And at some point, are they going to come in here and try to, is the long arm of the law going to eventually reach them, or is there like a statute of limitations on this where somewhere down the road they'll actually get away with it? I know they're, you know, letting them right out of jail as soon as they bust them and everything, but are they going to seriously crack down on this and pull some of these people in?
Well, Thomas, the short answer is I don't think so, and I only say that for this reason. The administrations of most of these cities where these things are happening are so far left that they think these people can be excused from their lawlessness because, after all, they're quote-unquote oppressed, or they're victims, or they've got a right to be angry, and we got to leave them room to vent and to express themselves. Unless there is, and by the way, folks, I'm working hard to make this happen. I'm believing God before I leave this earth. I will have the kind of impact that I'm hoping I can have, not just me, by the way, but me working with a whole lot of other people. in waking folks up to the fact that if you keep electing these Democrats to preside over these cities, you're going to keep getting the same horrible results. Violence, gangs, drugs, poor education, lack of support for the police and hatred of the police as if they are the ones who are causing the murder and the mayhem that are plaguing these communities. So right now, sadly, Thomas, I think things are probably going to go on just as they are until these folks wake up and start selecting a different kind of leadership that actually wants them to make progress as opposed to keeping them in their downtrodden condition so they can use them for their own power ambitions. So thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Thomas. Let's go to Jane in Oregon. Jane, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. How are you doing?
I'm blessed, Jane. How are you?
I'm not wearing a mask, so all is good.
Good. Good for you. Neither am I.
I just had a comment about the Jacob Blake incident where the police have been castigated for shooting him before he either reached or got into his car.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've not heard anybody mention that he was twice tased. He must have been absolutely crazed on drugs or alcohol or both. He was angry and he was trying to get in and drive off with those babies. The cops should have shot him and kept him from driving off with those babies.
Yeah, you look, all of those facts, Jane, the fact that they were called out there because he was threatening a woman, she certainly felt threatened by him. The fact that he resisted arrest, that he put one police officer in a headlock, the fact that when they tried to get him to finally calm down and relent, he wouldn't and kept going. No, none of those facts matter, you see. And the fact that he was a bad player. This was not, is, because he's still alive. But this, at least up until this point, maybe he's changed now as a result of this incident. But up until this point, this was not a nice guy. And here again, nobody deserves to die because they're not nice people. But when you get into these confrontations and violent conflicts with police officers and they defend themselves, then you want to make the cops the bad guys? Like they just walked up, oh, here's somebody, let's shoot him. I mean, it's just, it's preposterous, but let's face it. I mean, it's not about truth. It's not about facts. It's about a political agenda, and they will twist it and turn it and lie and obfuscate and hide things and suppress things in order to make sure that that narrative is promoted no matter what. So that's what we're dealing with there, Jane. And the fact that they're going to fire this young lady for printing facts about him. They didn't say, oh, wait a minute, the things you said weren't true. No, they were true, but you can't say that. So, yeah, that's where we are. Thank you for the call, Jane. Let's go to Stephen in Mississippi. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call today, Bishop.
Thank you for calling.
I was watching the news, and I saw some of the mainstream media's reaction to Trump's comments about COVID, not to fear it and all that. And they jump up, oh, don't fear it. Over 200,000 people have died from it, but yet they don't want to mention all of the innocent babies that are murdered, to abortion, which is totally controllable. You know, succumbing to a sickness is one thing. We need to respect it and do our part to try not to catch
right.
it. But, you know, they like you're saying, they want to drive their narrative, so. And it even plays right into the Black Lives. They don't want to talk about how most of the babies that are aborted or murdered are black. And it's just, one more example of the hypocrisy of the mainstream media.
Well, look, you are absolutely right, Steve. And in fact, before the election, I've got some spots that are going to be running in radio stations in various parts of the country in which I talk about that very thing. And they're always pointing the finger of racism, you notice this, at everybody, but they never talk about the racist roots of Planned Parenthood. And much of the stuff that they talk about are things that have been over for two to at least a half a century. But Planned Parenthood's genocide against black people goes on day by day. It is still in effect. And oh, no, we don't. you know, no matter anything else where there's a racial disparity, it's racism. It's obvious it's racism. But when it comes to the racial disparity in abortions, that 40% nearly of the abortions are committed on black women. Oh, no, that's not. That's well, no, no. So, yeah, Stephen, you reach a point where you realize trying to understand these people from a rational perspective and from a perspective of truth and all that, you can't. You have to, look, they want power, and that's all there is. And whatever it takes to get it, that's what they're going to do. And they will do anything, say anything, hurt anybody in order to get it and to keep it. And if you see that, you understand that, then everything else that they do pretty much makes sense, because that's really just who they are. So I know I'll get some criticism on that, but you can't say that about all the left. I say, well, if you don't think that way, you ought to get out of it. That would be my response. You know, if you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, don't go to Guyana. Thanks for the call, Stephen. Let's go to Maurice in Tennessee. Maurice, welcome.
Thanks for the call, Stephen. Yes.
Hey, Maurice, you got to get closer to the phone or something, because we're having a hard time hearing you.
Well, I don't know what's going on with my phone. Every time I go to call out.
And I hear the radio in the background, Maurice. Hey, Maurice, let me come back. Turn your radio down and get close to the phone, and let me come back to you, okay? Let's go to Lydia in Mississippi. Lydia, welcome.
How are you? Real quickly, I was watching TV, and I saw a commercial come on from, it was the Liberals, of course. There was a pan shot in front of the Washington Monument, thousands of people. Then they moved over to one in the street, same thing, thousands of people. Then they panned over to Miss Oprah Winfrey. She had the meanest, ugliest scowl on her face, and her words were, "We are on the precipice of changing this country." And I thought, Miss Winfrey, I just heard a few months ago, you are a billionaire. You are the richest black lady in the U.S. Please tell me what is so bad about my country. I would love to live in the country that allowed you to become a billionaire. And yet you're wanting to change it? What are you wanting to change? You made your money. You're a fine lady, and I know you worked for it. But give me a break. That's all I wanted to say, Bishop. Thank you,
well,
my friend.
Listen, I appreciate that so much, Lydia. It is strange. And, yeah, you do wonder what is going on in these people's heads. And I think some of them, they've just been brainwashed. It's like being in a cult. I've said that before. And the rational – and by the way, she's not just one of the – probably the wealthiest black woman. She's one of the wealthiest people in America. I mean, she's probably in the top, 50, maybe the top 20. I don't know. But she's in the billionaire status, and there aren't that many of those. So she's way up there among people, regardless of color or race. And that's the thing. Well, if the country's so racist, how did that happen for you? That's not supposed to happen. You know, I said before, I think the arrogance of these folks is, well, we're just so special. We're so different. We're so much better. But for the average person, they'll never experience what we do. But I'll tell you what, folks, I don't care whether it's Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Spike Lee, or anybody else, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.